Thank you guys who are giving. If you are a guest with us, you can place that connection card in a tithe and offering basket as well. We're going to be in Matthew chapter 25. We're having some screen problems today, guys, so y'all bear with that and just pay attention to me best you can. We're going to be in Matthew chapter 25 today. We started a little series called Generous Justice last week. Generous Justice. I encourage you, go to the website, bethelcommunity.church. You can give. You can re-listen to the message that was spoken last week. It's going to tie into what we're going to talk about today. Here's what I'm hoping today that happens. There's something that you find in the Word, in the Bible, called the burden of the Lord, or the Lord's burden. As believers, we are supposed to carry the burdens that is on Jesus' heart. One of the prayers that I constantly pray for myself and also for our church is, God, break my heart for what your heart breaks for. Let me be burdened for what you're burdened for, King Jesus. And this morning, I'm asking the Holy Spirit that He would do that for all of us here today, that by His Spirit, He would burden us or break us for what breaks His heart. Matthew 25, as we jump in, what are you going to see? You're going to see what God's heart breaks for. What his heart beats for. Here is Jesus. Now, the interesting thing about this scripture in Matthew 25 is Jesus is saying this in the context of him coming back. There is a second coming. Jesus is coming back again. And he's coming back for a victorious church, exactly what we talked about in praise and worship. Matthew 25, we're going to start in verse 31. Jesus is talking about himself. He says, when the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, then he will sit on his glorious throne. Before him will be gathered all the nations, or all ethnicities. And he will separate people one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will place the sheep on his right, but the goats on the left. Then the king, Jesus is our great king, will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry, feed you, thirsty, and give you a drink? When did we see you a stranger and welcome you, naked and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and visit you? And the king will answer, truly I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers, you did it to me. Then he will say to those on his left, depart from me, you cursed, into eternal fire, prepared for the devil and all his angels. Man, we don't want to go there. For I was hungry, you gave me no food. I was thirsty, you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, you did not welcome me. Naked, and you did not clothe me. Sick and in prison, you did not visit me. They will also say, Lord, when did we see you hungry? Interesting that both parties called him Lord. When did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not minister to you? Then he will answer them, truly I say to you, as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me. And these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. Father, help us today. Lord, I pray you to speak clearly through me this morning, sir. Lord, let us be burdened for what your heart breaks for today, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, a lot of you might be like me around the Thanksgiving and the Christmas holiday. I find myself thinking a lot about myself in the small circle of people that are around me. In 2 weeks, my family and I will go to my mom's house. My mom lives in Knoxville, Tennessee. And we always go there for Thanksgiving. And so she's already asking me, Lance, what do you want for Thanksgiving dinner? And sure, like a good son, man, I'm putting in my request. The first thing you got to have at Thanksgiving, for it to be Thanksgiving, is a turkey. Now, I don't even like turkey. But I am going to make sure that a turkey is going to be sitting on my Thanksgiving table. Not steak. Not chicken, but a turkey. I won't touch it. I won't eat it. But baby, it's going to be there, praise the Lord. I also have to have sweet potatoes with the marshmallows on top. Woo! Those are my favorite. I like green beans. I like yeast rolls. Some of you might laugh at me at this, but I like the can of jelly cranberry sauce. Glory! I mean, that thing is just glorious. I still have not figured out how it comes out of the can, but I shake it and it just kind of blops out, wiggles on the plate. But man, is it good when you eat it. The jelly cranberry sauce, there is nothing like it. I gotta have ham. That's my favorite. I'm not a turkey guy, I'm a ham guy. I love my favorite drink, sweet tea. And for dessert, you gotta have chocolate pecan pie from Cracker Barrel. It's really good. And also homemade apple pie that my mama makes. That is also really good. Then after Thanksgiving, what's the day after? Black Friday. So not only am I being asked what I want for Thanksgiving, now my mama's asking, hey, honey, I'm 40 years old. She still asks me this. What do you want for Christmas? And I tell my mom and I tell my wife, because they love to do all that crazy shopping. I don't get out in that mess. I watch football like a righteous man does. But hey, if y'all want to go and be with the unrighteous, it's all y'all. You can have at it. People fighting. Just don't get in a fight. Don't want a fish on your car and you fighting. That's not good. Then I'm thinking to myself, okay, what about our children? We got to get them something. It's Christmas, right? We got to get them something. So let's go buy them a bunch of things. Now, my kids are still small. So let's go buy them a bunch of things that are going to end up in the one place I just know everything we buy is going to end up. You guys know where that is with young kids. The toy box. You know, I have a special name for our toy box at home. You guys ever seen the little Christmas movie, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer? That's one of my favorite Christmas movies. I don't even know if it's a movie. Cartoon. But where does Rudolph find himself? On the island of the misfit toys. That's what I call the toy box at home. It's the island of the misfit toys, the toys that never get played with. But yet, this is what happens at Christmas and Thanksgiving time. And a lot of times what happens, if you're like me, around this holiday season, is many times our mindset becomes about me, myself, and I. And I tend to forget that there's others that are out there that might not have choices when it comes to the Thanksgiving and Christmas season. This is why I'm so thankful for the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit lives inside of every one of us as believers. And the Holy Spirit's role is his role in our life is to remind us what and who Jesus cares about. Jesus is our king. This is what he talks about here in Matthew chapter 25. And as a king, his responsibility is to rule justly. And today, what we're going to do is we're going to take a look at how our king fulfills justice and really makes you and I a people who are moving in justice and mercy specifically towards those who are in need. Again, my hope for us today is that the Holy Spirit begins to stir on the inside of us. And our heart begins to break for what Jesus' heart breaks for. A lot of people will come and they'll ask me, Pastor Lance, I want to grow closer to Jesus. And you know, oftentimes I surprise them by my answer. I tell them, then you need to grow closer with somebody else, with another. Because as we get close to people, guess what? We get close to Jesus. Because that's what Jesus cares about. His heart breaks and his burden for people. And there's a specific group of people that we're going to focus on this morning. God cares about those in need. You see this all throughout Scripture. You look in the book of Isaiah. If you'll go back and listen to our message last week, the book of Isaiah, you actually discover some of the very same wording that was used in the Scripture that we used last week. In 1 Samuel chapter 15. Some of the same wording we find, and we really find again, we discover what God's heart breaks for. In Isaiah chapter 1, God has sent this man named Isaiah as a prophet. What did a prophet do in the Old Testament? He spoke on behalf of God. He gave God's people warnings. He gave them encouragement through the prophet. And here we have God using Isaiah to bring the people a warning that their hearts are not right. They're focusing on the wrong thing. They're making all these sacrifices, but because of their heart is distant from God, they may be doing religious things, but yet God is not pleased. And so verse 11, chapter 1, verse 11, he tells them that. He says through Isaiah, what to me is the multitude of your sacrifices. That was some of the very same wording that was used in the message last week. Says the Lord, I have had enough of your burnt offerings of rams, the fat of your well-fed beast. I do not delight in the blood of bulls or of lambs or of grass. Then he skips down to verse 17. He talks about what the Lord delights in. He says to us, learn to do good. Seek justice. Correct oppression. Bring justice to the fatherless. And he says the last one, I love this. Be a voice or plead the widow's cause. Proverbs 14:31. The Bible says, whoever oppresses a poor man insults his maker, but he who is generous to the needy honors him. Proverbs 19, whoever is generous to the poor lends or gives to the Lord, and he will repay him for his deeds. I was discussing with Pastor Richard my message this week about what I wanted to say or what I felt like the Lord was wanting to say to us today. Pastor Richard's actually not here today. He's at our church in Alabama. He's speaking at our brand new church plant in Birmingham, Alabama this morning for Pastor David and Rachel. And Pastor Richard began to share with me what he does when it concerns what kind of what we're focusing on. Is he actually will carry with himself an envelope with cash in it. He has a monthly amount that he places in this envelope. So when he pulls down the interstate, maybe at a stop sign, a stoplight, and he sees someone in need, what he does is he takes from this envelope and he gives. Because why? Scriptures like Isaiah, Proverbs mean something to him. So he knows that he has to be responsible for those that God puts in his place. What's God saying to us today? God is saying, if you love me, here's the thing, you love the broken. You love the poor. You love the widow. You love the orphan. You love the oppressed. That if you truly care about me, then you have to care about those that I care about. Now, I got to be honest with you, oftentimes this is overlooked even in my own life. So God is speaking to me as he is to you today. As believers, if we have a relationship with God, then the direct reflection of that relationship is we have a relationship with those that are in need. If you don't have a relationship with the poor, the oppressed, then God is telling us there's something missing in our relationship with him, because our relationship with them is directly tied to our relationship with him. Now, I'm going to go a little bit deeper here in a moment about what I mean by have a relationship with them, how that is practically lived out. But here's the thing I don't want us to do. And many times I think, because this is what I do, this is someone else's responsibility, not my responsibility. This is the government's responsibility. This is somebody else, maybe a ministry's responsibility. And many times as individual followers of him, we push this responsibility off on someone else or another ministry. But as we're going to discover, clearly, this is what God has called us as followers of Christ to tend to and to be responsible for. See, God identifies with those on the bottom of the ladder. Over and over and over again, he talks about, I'm a father to the fatherless. I am a defender to those who are in need. I am a husband to the widow. God identifies with the poor. He identifies with the oppressed. And what you have to understand is Isaiah was saying this to these people, or even as Jesus was speaking in Matthew 25, what he was saying to those who were listening, they were astounded by this. Because in those days, little g gods, with a little g, don't associate with those at the bottom of the ladder. They only associated what they thought was those at the top, those that had power, those that had wealth. But clearly, God is telling us that he is not in bed with those that are in power. That he stands with those who are oppressed. He stands with those who are in need. And you know today that God stands with the immigrant, with the refugee. God stands with a single mom. God stands with a widow. Friends, if we want to be a blessing this Thanksgiving and Christmas season, here's my encouragement to you. Find yourself a single mom and say, what do you need? That will be a huge blessing. Single moms many times find it difficult, especially with multiple kids. Difficult. But this is why God draws single moms to a church family, so we can embrace them as a church and help them in their time of need. Friends, we can't say we love and care about Jesus and not care about this topic. All human life is valuable to Jesus. Therefore, what Jesus values, guess what? We have to value as well. We can't, again, push this off on someone else. Here's what I don't want to happen today. After this message, after the Holy Spirit stirs you, I don't want Him to stir you, and your question to me is, hey, Lance, what is the pastoral team going to do about this problem? Many times we hear things and then we go look to somebody else. Hey, man, you're the preacher guy. What are y'all going to do about that? Now, there is something corporately that we're going to do as a church, but yet it starts in all of our individual hearts. The Holy Spirit wants to stir us this morning to not what are they going to do. Hey, what am I going to do? What am I going to do to get involved in this? In order for us to walk in justice and mercy, we have to understand first what biblical justice is. Because biblical justice is different than what one of the points is correct and what our world is saying, but it goes beyond just one point. Many times our world stops at what justice is by the first thing I want to tell you. But it really goes beyond that. The first thing biblical justice does address, and our world would agree with this, is biblical justice means equal treatment of all ethnicities. We talk a lot about this here at Bethel, don't we? That black and white hand represents what? All nations, all tribes, all tongues coming together. Not just coming together to say, hey, good to meet you, but actually walking in authentic, godly relationship where we do life together. Our kids play together. We have dinner with one another. And so as Bethel, we talk about that. And when you come to a church like this, racism and bigotry, if it's there, it's going to get dealt with. Because why? It's justice. It's equal treatment of all ethnicities. All of us have been made in what's called the Imago Dei, the image of God. That's why hating someone else is against what God wants. Because when you hate someone, you're hating himself. You're hating God himself. Because every human being is made in his image. The word will stop there. But yet, biblical justice goes on. Number two, biblical justice means that the widow, the orphan, the unborn, and the oppressed are objects of special concern. We are commanded to speak up for those who have no voice. Remember what we read in verse 17 of Isaiah chapter 1? What did he say? He says, plead the widow's cause. That means say something, that you and I, as followers of Jesus, that we are a voice for the widow. That goes on for the unborn as well, that we are a voice for the unborn, that we're a voice to those who do not have a voice, or those voices that aren't strong enough or loud enough. We, as followers of Christ and as a church, are that for them. And the last one, biblical justice means, it does mean generosity. Doing justice means to share your assets to help and serve those who are in need. God has given you and I things, money, resources, homes. So why? So we can help others. 1 Timothy chapter 6 clearly said this. I love this. He says, this is the NIV, command those. Now listen, don't get confused. Don't push this off after I say this next word. Command those who are what? Rich. Many times we hear that and we immediately begin to think, well, I'm not rich, so it's not my responsibility. Let me tell you something, friends. Compared to what our world makes, other nations, you are very rich. You are very wealthy. I did the new upgrade on my iPhone today, and I found out that I now have 70 more emojis. Why do I need 70 more? I only use 4. Thumbs up, kissy lips to my wife, the strong signal, and the weak guy winking. That's all I use. I don't need 70 more emojis. But because I live in the greatest nation in the world, United States of America, I am rich. Just go to Haiti like Pastor Richard did 2 weeks ago. You guys have been places like this. Money in the bank? You have a place to store your money? You have money in the bank, car to drive, you have houses to put the car in? Lord, have mercy. We're rich, guys. Just don't let that word throw us off in this present world. Not to be arrogant, nor to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain. And I love that. This is why I choose to give as a follower of Jesus. Listen, I don't give or pay 10% of my income because I'm a pastor. I give because I want to tell myself, and I got to show myself this, I'm just being honest with you, that money, because I can, my life, I can begin to put trust in money so easily. And every time I give, it breaks that power in my life. Every time. This is why I choose to give, because I'm declaring to myself, self, you are not trusting in money, you are trusting in God. Because money is so uncertain, but God is certain. He's a guarantee. But to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. Command them, talking to us, to do good, to be rich in good deeds, and to be generous and willing to share. So how do we do this? How do we become people that do justice like this? How do we do this? The thing that I love about Jesus, and I love about Matthew chapter 25, is that Jesus knows what will get our attention. He knows what will move our hearts. So he says something in Matthew 25 that really causes us to think differently and handle our resources differently, especially as we approach the Thanksgiving and Christmas season. Jesus tells us in verse 40, what does he say here? He says, as you have done unto them, the least of these, that's them, he says, you do unto me. Jesus knows that most of us will never have a personal relationship with those or with them as Jesus describes. But guess who we have a relationship with? We might not with them, or we might not know their name, but we definitely have a relationship with him, and we know his name. Jesus is telling us your relationship with them is directly tied to your relationship with him. I do for them because why? I love him. And I understand as I do unto them, I'm doing it unto him. Doing justice as a believer, listen to me, this is important, is never about knowing a person's name, a person's background, and what they're going to do, with what we hand them. It's not my responsibility. If I'm pulling up to a stop sign, I give something to someone. You guys know what I'm talking about. It's not my responsibility to know all their backstory. Hey, what are you going to do with this? It's not up to me. That's up to them and to God. Jesus is telling me my responsibility is to do something. Now, please don't hear me wrong. I am not saying that I give to every person on the street corner. I don't. I'll be honest with you. This is not what we're talking about. But we are talking about hearing the Holy Spirit, being stirred by Him at times, being moved by Him. And there are some needs that God will speak to you about, and they'll all be different because we're all different people. But again, what they do with it is not up to me. It's up to them and up to God. I have to do what the Holy Spirit is saying to me. But I do understand that having a relationship with them means I do what I find that need. I do my best to meet that need. Jesus tells him, he says, I was hungry. When he says, I was hungry, I was thirsty. He's speaking to two types of people. He's talking about those who, what? Those who did give and those who did not. Those who cared and those who did not care. And what's so interesting to me, and this is what I have missed so many times reading Matthew 25, is all of this about providing for the least of these is said, this is so interesting, in the context of Jesus coming back. Meaning when he comes back and I stand before him, listen, he's not even going to ask me, did I do this? When we read Matthew 25, there wasn't questions that he posed to these people. What did he do? He said, I've already seen what you have done. You did not feed the hungry. You did not take care of those who were thirsty. So that means when he returns, he's not going to ask me, did I do this? He's going to know by sitting here looking at me, watching me today, did I do this? And it's not going to be like, oh, hold on, let me go do it real quick. There's not going to be time for all of that. It's going to be right then, right there. That means now matters, my friends. God is moving right here, right now. Now matters. It matters what we do with our money. It matters what we do with our resources. Jesus is watching. That is not something we just tell our children. He really is. And he's watching how we handle what he has given us. See, what this means is that has to change the way we live. Change the way we view things, especially what he's handed us, our resources. It means we wait on his return. We wait differently than everybody else waits. It means we wait with expectancy. But in that expectation, we are to be good stewards of what God has handed you and I. Good stewards means what? That we're responsible. That we live on a budget. That we don't just buy whatever our flesh and our heart desires. That we put money aside. Why? But to fulfill Matthew 25. It also means that we, part of that stewardship is caring for the needs of the poor and those who are in need. Friends, this is the very heartbeat of Christianity. We talk a lot about God blessing us, God moving on us. Jesse, come on up. But here's the thing, is the blessing is never just for us. It's always for someone else. You know, one of the prayers that I constantly pray for our church is the prayer, it was called the prayer of Jabez. I believe it's 2 Chronicles chapter 4, the prayer of Jabez. Jabez, he was born. Jabez prayed a prayer. And his prayer was that the Lord would be with him, that his hand would be with him, that the Lord would bless him. This is the prayer I pray over us. God, let your hand be with us. He said, Lord, that you would bless me indeed, that your hand would be with me. Then he says that you would enlarge my tent pegs. I'm praying this all the time for you guys, that God would enlarge you. Why do we pray this, though? We pray this because of what God spoke to Abraham, that Abraham, you're going to be blessed, but there's a reason why you're blessed. It's not just for you. You're blessed to be a blessing. See, you and I are conduits for the blessing to flow through. You know, each year around this holiday season, as a church, we have an amazing opportunity. Remember, I talked about as individuals, we all got to find the need, but corporately, we do come together and do some pretty cool things in our community around the Thanksgiving and holiday season. In fact, what I'm going to talk to you about, we've called the Christmas offering. We've been doing this for 11 years now. And we have raised, the past 11 years, we have raised just over $90,000 to distribute to the needs in our community. Let's give God a hand clap for that. That's exciting. The reason why we receive this offering, we talk about this, is because we are called to live this generous justice lifestyle. You know, in the month of March of this year, I talked to you guys about what we call the Transformation Project. And the reason why we did that is we wanted to do three things with that project. We wanted to raise enough money to be able to purchase a sign. You guys see we have a new sign. That's exciting. We wanted to continue to make some improvements to our building. We're continuing to do that. And we also want to provide for the missionaries and the mission, the things mission-wise that we do here as a church. And so what we want to do in this Christmas season is really the missions portion of the transformation offering is going to go towards these three things that we're going to talk about today. When we talk about the Christmas offering, we're going to be receiving that for the next 7 weeks starting next week. So I want you to know what it's going to go towards. So you can go home and pray what you would like to give towards. There's some pretty cool things we're going to give to. First off, we've already talked about Bethel's angel tree. And we have an angel tree here at Bethel. We have families here that is tough around Christmas time. And here's the thing about that. If that is you, that's all right. Again, that's why God has you here. So you can be surrounded by a family that's going to help you to have the Christmas that you would like to have. We're here to help with that the best that we can. So a portion of this offering is going to go towards our angel tree. Also, some pretty cool things happening at right down the street. There's a little area of homes called Tiny Town Village. Tiny Town Village. There's about over 300 units in this area. And there was a guy who showed up at our church probably been about 3 months ago, and he's a builder in town. And he started talking to Pastor Richard and I, and as we built a relationship with him over this, he mentioned that he wanted to do something on the Christmas season for those that rented his properties. And we began to talk to him about a possibility of him giving a discount for the rent payment that are due from those who live in that area. And he actually, surprisingly, he agreed. Now, that's pretty awesome. How many of you guys would love for your renter or your mortgage company to call you tomorrow and say, hey, you get $100 off this month? Man, I'll be like, woohoo! I'd be rejoicing. And so this man is willing to give a percentage off of all, he has over 300 places, of those in that community. It's pretty cool. So he's going to develop a gift certificate. And I said, okay, what about if we as a church, if we developed a gift basket or gift bags with that gift certificate, and we went around to every one of those units, knocked on the door, and talked to them about what you're doing, and we're able to invite them to our church this Christmas season. He said, man, please go do that. So I need you guys to write down this date. On December the 8th, December the 8th at 10 a.m. See, our message, our series in Christmas, this will start after Thanksgiving, is called Christmas on Tiny Town. And so we're looking for needs to meet on Tiny Town Road. So December the 8th at 10 a.m., what we're going to do is we're going to meet here as a church, a family. Many of you guys want to come. We'd love to have you bring your kids. We're going to already have the baskets or the bags prepared. And we're going to begin to go. We're going to distribute them all across Tiny Town Village. It's going to be great. We're going to get a lot of people to meet, a lot of people to invite to church. And so a portion of this offering is going to help develop those gift bags. And the last thing is a really cool ministry that you may or may not have heard of that we're going to partner with this Christmas season. There's a ministry called, it's called YPAKS, Y-A-I, I think I'm saying it right, P-A-K-S. And they minister to the broken and to the poor of our community. And a portion, a side of their ministry is this, and this is what we're going to be a part of this Christmas, is they have what's called Totes for Hope. Totes for Hope. They're working closely with veterans that are homeless and helping them move into housing. And so one of the things that they need is they need things like pillows, a sheet set, can openers, things for the kitchen, things for the bathroom. And so I told them that as a church, we would love to get involved in this. And so what's going to happen on December the 16th, we'll keep you up to date as we move forward on all these dates, but December the 16th, this is how they work. We will buy, I'll have a list for you next week of all the things that you could purchase if you'd like to be a part of this, hope you will. On December the 16th, in our 9 a.m. and 11 a.m. service, when we get out of the car to come into church, we will take those products and we'll leave them by our bumper. We'll leave them by our car, and then they will come as a ministry and pick those things up and distribute them to our homeless veterans that are they're helping find homes. Pretty cool, isn't it? Pretty cool. These are some great things to be involved in. Our goal is that 100% of us would be involved. We all need to be involved. So as we begin to receive this offering, again, we're going to start next Sunday. What we're asking, here's what we're asking. We're believing that every family or individual, this is above our regular tithe, would give $200 towards this offering. Maybe you can do more. Maybe you can't do $200. That's just the goal that we'd like to set. But it really helps us gather the money, gather the resources that we need, man, to meet these three needs. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, we love you so much. We thank you, Lord, for these opportunities. Let's just do this, church. Let's just, as we're sitting, let's just lift our hands as we're sitting. And let's just receive God's burden. God, we just ask you, Lord, to place your burden, Lord, on our hearts. God, we want to be a blessing. God, we already are blessed. We want to be a blessing this Christmas season, this Thanksgiving holiday. God, I pray you would let the blessing flow through us. Lord, place on our hearts what you'd like us to give to this, to help us meet these needs, Father. God, we receive your burden this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. If our prayer team can come on front. Guys, listen, we here at Bethel, thank you so much for being here. If you need prayer, we're about to dismiss. Our prayer team will be standing down front. We believe in the power of prayer here. I got a little thing, Pastor Richard and I call First Step in the Global Cafe. If this is your first time, please, I'd love to meet you, to say hello as you walk out the door. God bless you. You're dismissed. Have a great week, and we'll see you next Sunday. Yeah.
fear.